It's good to see everyone that is here to this afternoon. Today I'd like to be sharing my testimony and a few gospel verses with you. Now, if you see me get as red, as bright as my shirt, don't worry, I'm still breathing, and I'll be okay. So I think I know pretty much everybody here, but you may not know how I was born again, how I became a Christian. And I think like almost everybody here as well, I grew up going to Sunday school. And I remember as a kid going to Sunday school, I remember not really caring for the things of God. I remember just wanting to talk with my friends and waiting for the meeting to be over to keep talking and mess around, run around the church and do what I guess what kids do. And I never really cared. I never really paid attention. I never knew how to be born again. And it wasn't until when I was about 12 years old in the sixth grade where I became more interested in the things of God and what God had for me. But I still asked myself many questions. I still had many doubts about him and his word. And it wasn't until a New Year's Eve where in East LA, our gospel hall, where we have brothers giving their testimony and sharing the gospel, where that night the questions that I had and the doubts that I had were answered. And it wasn't until by the time I got home, it was already past midnight, January 1st, 2010. As my mom was tucking me into bed, I told her that I wanted to be saved. So we prayed and I trusted the Lord into my life and believed in what he did for me and repented of my sins. And I thank God that 7 years later, I'm still here. And that's how I was born again, January 1st, 2010. And now that I have shared how I was born again, I would like to talk to you about a problem that this world has. It is a problem that we can read throughout our Bibles. It is the problem of sin. In the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I'd like to answer the questions, what makes us sinners and why do we come short of his glory? And we can read about that in the book of Genesis, if you can turn with me there, in it's chapter 3. The book of Genesis, and it's chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 1, 6, and 17. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 6, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. Verse 17, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Now here we saw the temptation, the fall, and the judgment of Adam and Eve, the first two male and female on this earth. And Adam and Eve sinned against God, and them being our ancestors, we are also born sinners. And in verse 17, we are reminded that cursed is the ground for thy sake. And because we sinned, because they sinned, sin was passed on like a virus from generation to generation, even till today. But even though we are all sinners and remain in our sin, John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And also Romans chapter 4, verse 25 reminds us that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He died for the fault of our sin. None of us here deserve eternal life. But then we can see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 reminds us that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was taken as a sheep to the slaughter, where he suffered, bled, and died for our sins, so that we may have eternal life. Now that is true love. And now that you know why we are sinners and come short of the glory of God, what's next? Jesus once told a man named Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a hell and there is a heaven. And if you are not born again, then you are on your way to a place called hell. Therefore, you must be born again. And you may ask, how can I be born again? How can I go to heaven? What is that way? And in Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There's another similar verse for this in the book of Acts, if you'd like to turn with me there. And it's chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may ask, well, what does it mean to repent? Repent is a strong want to change. It is a change of mind, and that becomes a change of attitude. It means to completely turn around the other way and follow Christ. It also tells us to believe the gospel, to have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And many people today can tell you, if you ask them, that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they believe any facts about him, but they don't really have their trust in him. They do not have faith in him. They do not really believe in what he did on the cross. They do not accept him. For example, let's just say I have a box full of Bibles right next to me, and I tell each and every one of you that I will give you a free Bible once I get down here. And you believe me. You believe that you will receive a free Bible from me that I have. But when it comes time to leave the meeting, go into your cars and ready to go home, you believe that I was going to give you a free Bible, but you did not receive it. You did not take it with you. Another little example is, let's say, for example, I tell you if there's a bomb, and if you believe me, what are you going to do? Are you going to just believe me and say, okay, whatever, and keep sitting here? Or are you going to act on it and run away? I think most of us here would, if you believe me, I think we will run away. You will act on it because you believe me, because you trusted in what I had to say. To be born again requires you to repent and to believe the gospel, to believe that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins and that he rose again on the third day for our justification. Now I want to ask you, if you are not born again, do you believe? Do you trust in him? In what he did on the cross? Have you placed your faith in him? If you repent and believe, you will be born again. You shall be justified by his blood and shall be saved from wrath through him. And if you are not born again, I want you to really think about this and to act on it before it's too late, because we don't know what our future holds, where our future is. And we are reminded in that in the book of James, in his chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, we are reminded that we cannot depend on tomorrow. We cannot depend on our future overall. Verse 14 of James chapter 4 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The first time I heard this verse was about maybe 5 years ago in a West Phoenix conference. And the brother that was preaching on the pulpit, he had a vapor machine up with him. It was only about this big. And I saw as the vapor went up, it only went about to this high, and it just vanished away completely. And that's how short our life is. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that's how short our life is. Therefore, I want to urge you to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. In Amos 4:12, tells us that, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Now I want to ask you, are you prepared to meet thy God? Are you prepared to meet God? I want you to really think about this, because this decision will affect you in eternity, forever, heaven or hell. And it will be too late in eternity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, that man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. There is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we would like to give thee thanks once again for giving us all another day of life and with another opportunity to be here this Sunday afternoon in your name. And we would like to also thank you for your reading of the word and the preaching of your word and the ministry that will come afterwards. And we ask you for your blessing and your guidance for the brother that will come up here and for the preaching of your word that has been spoken. Lord, we ask you if there's anybody here who is unsaved that they may repent and believe the gospel and be born again. And remember and know the importance of it, because this decision will affect all of us for the rest of eternity. Now we ask thee for the blessing and your guidance, and we give thee thanks for everything. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.